Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. And again, we're rejoicing. We're glad in it. So grateful that you've joined us wherever you are in the world. Thank you for connecting with us today. I'm excited today for the word that God has given to me for sharing today. It is a message about encouraging yourself. There are times and periods in life where you can get discouraged, frustrated with life and the events of life. David found himself being discouraged, but he encouraged himself. How do we encourage ourselves? What's the model? What's the example that he set for us? I want to talk about that today. We're going to be ministering on encouraging yourself. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Hallelujah. Father, we honor you. We worship you, adore you. We give you thanks, Almighty God. You're a healer and a deliverer, and we affirm in our ears and yours what an awesome God you are. And we believe that you're a way maker, and we pray right now for each other. We call each other's name out before your altar, casting all of our cares on your altar today because we know that you care for us. And we pray and intercede right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, we pray and intercede that you would work mightily, bind every lie of the devil, rebuke the devil on every side, and have your way in Jesus' name. Spirit of the living God, have free reign over this service. You be in charge. You speak, you communicate, you make the word fresh, real, and alive, and accomplish what you've already ordained before the foundations of the world. And we give you thanks and praise ahead of time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Give somebody a quick hug. All right. Don't sit down yet. Don't sit down. Get your Bibles. Come on now. Y'all know we're going to read the scriptures very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I know that Reverend Pearson read it once already, but y'all, this crowd needs to hear it again. You know, I gotta read this twice. We gotta read this twice to the 12 o'clock crowd. Because y'all might not have accurately read it from the hangover from last night. First Samuel chapter 30. I shouldn't joke with y'all about that. Because I don't know whether y'all was at the club last night or not. Now it happened, verse 1, when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal, the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. I'm calling this message today, encourage yourself. Tell your neighbor, encourage yourself. Tell them on both sides, encourage yourself. All right, you can be seated now, finally. Uh, Allow me for a few moments. Oh, before I get into this, let me celebrate. Some of you know this already. I'm so grateful for all the love that's been extended to my family. For my daughter gave birth to her second child, me and my wife's third grandchild on Wednesday. And I want to celebrate the love. And I don't know if y'all seen the picture. Maybe I'm just saying this because I'm the grandpapa, but that's the prettiest baby. Oh, my Lord, that baby's so pretty. She's beautiful, beautiful. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. So anyway, thank y'all for your love. I want to set the stage, if you don't mind, for this passage of Scripture, this story. David is a young man, and he has done the unthinkable. At the young age of 17, he goes out to the battlefield and kills Goliath. Y'all know the story. David killed Goliath. And as the armies of Israel march back into the city, the women lined the streets and celebrated David. As a matter of fact, they said Saul killed his thousands, but David killed 10,000. Saul, the king, gets a level of jealousy in his heart. And on a couple of occasions, he seeks to kill David. This is his servant. This is the man who played the harp for him. This is the man who got Israel the victory over the Philistines, David. And he tries to kill him. And David ends up running away. He must leave his home and leave his family. And he runs to escape the brutality of the king who's trying to kill him. He runs and escapes. And he runs into a cave. Unknowns to him, in the cave is a bunch of reject men. It is, the Bible says, they are discontent, in distress, and in debt. These are some troubled guys. David joins to them, and actually they ask David to become their leader, and David becomes their leader. He joins to this group of rejects. He becomes their leader, and he leads them among other places. They eventually get a job. These discontent men get a job, and their job is they become soldiers in the Philistine army. Now, y'all should have been shocked by that, because it is the Philistine army. It was Goliath of the Philistines who David had just killed. And now he's joining the Philistine army to be a soldier in their army. That's unheard of. It's a cowboy. It's a redskin joining the cowboys. By the way, anybody know last weekend was a wonderful weekend? The Redskins won, the Ravens won, and the Cowboys lost. Come on and give God a praise, somebody. Look at God. Praise his name. Shouldn't talk so loud, because I just heard that the Ravens lost already today in London. But anyway, they joined to the Philistine army. Follow me for just a few minutes. I promise I won't preach too long. And the general of the army, they're about to go into battle again with the Philistine army is about to do battle with the Israelites. And the general of the Philistine army inspects his soldiers and finds these Jewish boys in his army. And he immediately fires them. He dismisses them and tells them to go home. They cannot fight for him. And so these Israelites, these Jewish boys, along with David, leave and find their way back to the city that they created called Ziklag. It takes them 3 days to get back there. And when they get there, they are shocked to discover that the Amalekites have invaded their city and have kidnapped their wives and children and have burnt the city down with fire. It is a devastating moment. As a matter of fact, the text says that when David and his men came to the city, that it was burned, and that their wives and sons and daughters had been taken captive, it says that the men cried, verse 4, and wept until they had no more power to weep. These men cried. You know, it's a tough situation when men cry, and they done cried so much till they had no more tears to cry. Y'all might not want to admit it, but at some place in your life, if you haven't got there, keep living, you will get to a place where you will cry until you have no more tears to cry. Thank all 17 of y'all who can acknowledge the fact that sometimes life has the way of dealing you a hand that's difficult to handle. Frustrating, problemsome. You had not expected it. You had thought life would be so much better and things would be so much different than they are now. But now you're discouraged and despondent because it has turned out to be something much worse than you thought it was going to be. Go ahead and preach, Pastor. I'm doing the best that I can. It is a frustrating moment for David and his men. As a matter of fact, it's got to be devastating that the men have cried. These people cried until they had no more tears to cry and no more tears to weep, no more power to weep. They've cried. Life has a way of doing that. David's two wives had been taken captives. And verse 6 says, David was greatly distressed. He was in a place of disappointment. And it says he was distressed not only because of what had happened, but the people spoke of stoning him. These reject men talk about killing him. You know you're in bad shape when the rejects are rejecting you. When you're about to be rejected by the rejects. He's about to be rejected by the rejects. He's about to be put out, killed by them. And the text says, as I can just talk about this for a moment, they spoke of stoning him because the soul of every man was grieved. Every man for his sons and his daughters. The NIV says the men were bitter. They had become embittered because of they had followed David, and David had led them. If they had not followed David, they would still have their wives and their sons and daughters. They wouldn't be in a place where their kids and wives would have been taken captive and all. So they're bitter, and they talk about stoning him. What do you do? This is all I want to talk about, because if you keep living, you're going to find yourself in a David-like situation. Find yourself under the blow, under the gun, when nothing's going right and everything seems to be going wrong, and the people who should have been in your corner have now turned on you and are talking about you and rejecting you. What do you do when life is just not going in your direction? The scripture says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Yeah. Y'all miss a great spot to say amen. Now, I don't know who this message is for, but all I know is that you're here. And what you need to know right now, maybe you're watching online, or maybe you're watching the television or listening to the radio, but you need to hear this right now. You need to learn how to strengthen yourself. Amen. King James says he encouraged himself. New King James says he strengthened himself. It is a Hebrew word, shazak. And the word, that Hebrew word shazak, means he talked to himself. And there comes a time in life where you gotta talk to yourself. Oh, y'all not hearing me. When your finances are jacked up, your family's messed up, your children not acting right, your wife not giving you none, your finances are funny, your friends are not talking about to you, things are disillusioned, you're being defeated and disappointed, discouraged, despondent, depressed, you're down. What do? You gotta learn to speak to yourself. When you don't have enough money to pay the bills and you got bills are due, the sickness is racking your body from the top of your head to the sole of your feet, everything's looking bad, sometimes you got to learn to talk to yourself. Your problem is you talking to everybody else. And sometimes the people you're talking to don't know what to say. Sometimes they're telling you the wrong thing. They're telling you, like Job's friend, that it's all your fault. You're the reason. You're the fault. You're the drama. You're the pain. These so-called friends of Job discouraged him by the words they say. And David finds himself where they want to kill him. There's a little discussion going on among the men in his team, among the men in his army, in his group, that they're trying to take a vote on stoning him and putting him to death. It's disgusting. It's discouraging. But I like the word but. Anytime you see a but in scripture, there's a shift that's about to occur. Look at your neighbor and say, God got a big old butt. I like when God puts his butt. But David strengthened himself. He encouraged himself. It means to talk to yourself. It means, and I don't know if y'all ever seen anybody who talks to themselves, but most of the time when I see people talking to themselves, they're crazy. They've lost their mind. Something wrong with them. You see them just walking around just talking. You don't know what they're saying. They're crazy. But sometimes when you talk to yourself, it's a good thing. Sometimes the problem is not talking to yourself. The question is, what are you saying when you talk to yourself? Some of you are talking to yourself, but what you're saying to yourself is not the right thing to be saying to yourself. You're saying all the negative things. You're talking about how bad things are, how troubled you are. But sometimes you have to learn to speak over yourself and speak life over yourself and speak a word over yourself and speak over yourself and encourage yourself. And that's what David did. He spoke. He shazak. He talked to himself. Others may not understand. They may not understand where you are. They may not comprehend the drama that you're in. But it's okay. Get a heart and a mind to speak over yourself and encourage yourself. Amen. He didn't use his own words. He wasn't arrogant in his own speak. It says in the text right here, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He used the word of God to encourage himself. And that's what I'm here to tell you. You got to learn to use the word of God to encourage yourself. Instead of beating yourself up about the mistakes you made and the things you did and the places you went and the people you hung out with, instead of reminding yourself about your past, sometimes you got to remind yourself about the God that you serve. Hey, somebody say, hey! Talk to yourself about him. Tell yourself. Speak over yourself. David began to speak over himself. And I'm telling you to say, quote the word over yourself. Sometimes you got to speak life to yourself. Isaiah 54 and 17. Tell yourself, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Tell yourself the first part of Deuteronomy 28:13. It says, I am the head and not the tail. Tell yourself Psalm 18 and 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. Tell yourself Psalm 20 and verse 7, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I will trust and will remember the name of the Lord. Tell yourself the second part of Deuteronomy 28:13, I shall be above and not beneath. Speak Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors. Tell yourself Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Tell yourself Job 13:15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Speak the 27th Psalm over yourself. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and my foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy. In his tabernacle, I will sing, yeah, I will sing praises to the Lord my God. I wish I had a praying crowd with me to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I wish I had a praying crowd with me. I wish I had somebody who understood about the mighty one of Israel, the holy God that we serve, who's got all power in his hands. You got to speak over yourself and tell yourself he's worthy to be praised. He'll make a way. He'll make a way out of no way. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know when. I don't know where. But all I know is he'll make a way somehow. Y'all, excuse me, that's so good, I gotta high five myself on that. Go ahead, high five yourself and say, I'm gonna speak over myself. Speak life over my situation. I'm not going to go by what I look at, because what I look at looks sad. What I'm in the middle of looks bad. What I'm going through is painful. But where I am is not my final destination. Where I am is not what I'm going to. It's what I'm going through to get to the other side of where God is going to take me. I got to speak over myself and remind myself that the God I serve will and can make a way out of no way. Go ahead and speak over yourself. Go ahead and speak to yourself. Go ahead and encourage yourself. Tell yourself, I'm going to live and not die. Tell yourself, I'm going to be up and not down. Tell yourself, I'm a victor and not a victim. Y'all, excuse me. Tell yourself, I'm a winner and not a loser. Tell yourself, what I look like is not who I am. What I'm going through is not my final destination. I serve the King of Kings and the Lily of the Valley and the bright, y'all, excuse me, and the bright and the morning star. Encourage yourself. Sometimes the only person you have to talk to is yourself. Some of y'all are speaking depressed words over yourself. Stop speaking suicide and depression over yourself. Stop speaking defeat over yourself. Stop telling yourself it ain't gonna never change. The situation ain't gonna never turn around. Oh no. Speak those things as not as though they are. Tell yourself, I'm coming up out of here. This ain't gonna stay like this forever. My family ain't gonna be down forever. I'm not gonna be broke forever. I ain't gonna be sad forever. My marriage is not gonna struggle forever. Coming up out of here. I'm coming up out of here. I serve a God with all power in his hands. He's an awesome God and a mighty God. And he's got all power in his hands. I'm coming up out of here. I'm coming up out of here. Hey! I'm coming up out of here. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. I'm going to win. Going to win. Might be behind now, but I'm about to get out in front. Sometimes you got to tell somebody to rejoice while you up now, because I'm about to take your place. You the boss now, but I'm about to buy the company in a few days. You going to work for me. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I'm preaching to somebody today. Something's about to shift. And it starts with encouraging yourself. What you say to yourself. Speak life over yourself. Speak hope over yourself. Speak victory over yourself. David encouraged himself. I don't know what David said to himself, but I imagine he said, my wives are gone now, but I'm going to go get them back. My children have disappeared, but I'm going to go get them back. I'm going to encourage myself. This is just a temporary situation that I'm in right now. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, I believe he said to himself, I have cried my last tear over this situation. Come on, tell yourself, I done cried my last tear over this situation. I ain't crying no more. You gotta be like Sue. You gotta be like Papa. I've taken all I can take and I can't take no more. Somebody say, enough is enough. It's over now. I'm coming up. I'm coming up. I'm going to be victorious. I'm going to be a winner. So, hallelujah. Who am I preaching to right now? Okay. So I'm gonna make sure I got the right crowd. I'm almost finished. He encouraged himself. But hold up. Can I read one more verse? I'm going to read another verse to y'all. In verse 7, David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, please bring the ephod here to me. And Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Now some might say, well, Pastor, what is an ephod? I'm glad you asked the question. When the priest went in to do his duties, he would put over his vestures and his garments a garment called an ephod. It would hang on the shoulders and would hang down just below his waist. But he put it on over top of his vestures. David said, I'm not a priest, but I'm going to put the priestly garment on. Y'all missing a great spot to shout. What you saying, Pastor? What I'm telling you is put your ephod on. What that means is you might not be a priest, but you carry a priestly anointing. That means I don't have to have the pastor pray for me. I can pray for myself. Somebody high five somebody else, say, pray for yourself. Put your own ephod on. Put your own garment on. Guard your heart and have a mentality to say, I don't need the pastor to pray for me. I'm going to pray for myself. Y'all stop asking people to pray for you and pray for yourself. You have just as much authority, just as much access, just as much power to pray for yourself. Stop acting like you need somebody else to pray for you. The tragedy is people come to you and say, pray for me, child. Please pray for me. I got drama. I got a problem. Pray for me. And then they come back a week later and say, child, God worked it out. And I know it's because you prayed for me. And the whole time they talking, you realize you forgot to pray for them. That's why I'm glad I don't have to depend on y'all to pray for me. I can put my own ephod on and pray for myself and get my own prayer through. You don't need to depend on nobody else to pray for you. Pray for yourself. Got my own walk with God. Got my own relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can pray for myself and intercede for myself. Don't like for people to come ask me to pray for them. No, pray for yourself. You have your own personal relationship with God. Pray for yourself. Intercede on your own behalf. Talk to God. You don't need nobody else to pray for you. Amen. Matter of fact, I think I preached y'all a few weeks ago. He inclines his ear to our cry. He'll hear your cry. It doesn't matter what your situation is. The devil wants you to think God ain't heard you, but God hears you. And he might not come when you want him to, but he will come in time. Do I have a witness anywhere here that knows he'll come on time? And so he put the ephod on, and then he prayed. And the Bible says in verse number 8, that David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him. God answered him and said, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them and without fail recover all. Somebody better get ready to recover all. Everything the devil took from you, God's about to give it back to you. Everything you lost, you about to get it back. Stephen Hurd, come here. Let's pretend something got taken from you and it's walking along life. God says you will pursue, and it means, that word means to overtake and grab hold and take back what it is that the enemy took from you. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but you better get ready. God is about to power you and anoint you to recover. You're going to get your marriage back. You're going to get your children back. You're going to get your joy back. You're going to get your peace back. You're going to get your life back. You're going to get your anointing back. You're going to get your call back, your ministry back, your walk back, your sanity back. You're going to get everything that the devil has taken away. It's coming back. You shall without fail recover everything. Hey, somebody ought to shout, say, I'm getting it back. I'm getting it back. Somebody say, I'm getting my dance back. I'm getting my shout back. I'm getting my joy back. The devil took it, but I'm getting it back. Getting my family back. Getting my job back. Getting my call back. Getting my ministry back. Who am I preaching to today? It's coming back. You're getting it back. You're getting it back. I prophesy it to you. You're getting it back. The rest of the story says, I'm almost finished. The rest of the story says David pursued. Start going in the direction. See, somebody got to start making a move. And listen to this. While he was headed in that direction, who got a Bible? Why is your Bible closed, dog? Open your Bible. So David, verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those stayed who were left behind. Stop, stick a pin there. 600 of them, of his men, went with him, but when they got to the brook Besor, when he went from there, only 400 went. 200 jokers had to be left behind. So some of y'all need to recognize everybody can't go with you where God's trying to take you. I ain't getting no help right here. I can't get no help. Everybody can't go with you. Everybody can't travel with you. You got to let some people go. You got to let some things, you got to let them go. Let it go. Let it go. That's your problem. You're trying to drag everybody with you. Everybody can't go with you. They're holding you down. So you got to let some people go. Now, let me make some clarity here. Some of y'all going to go home and say, baby, the pastor said you can't go with me. I ain't talking about your spouse. And then it says, read the rest of the story when you get an opportunity. They came across a soldier who had been in the army that attacked Ziglag. They come across this soldier, and he had gotten sick. He had gotten sick, and they left him to die. So they went on, and now here comes David and his men, and they come across this guy, and he says to them, I was with the company of people who attacked Ziklag, and I got sick, I fell sick, and they wouldn't wait for me. They wouldn't nurse me back to health. They left me to die. And so they went on. So the Bible says David fed them, gave him some food and water, and then David said to him, show me where they went. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Here's what I'm saying. God's going to put somebody in the path to take you where you need to go to get what got stolen from you. Y'all not hear what I'm saying? God is going to put the right relationships at the right place at the right time that you're going to need so you can go where you need to go. Have I got a witness anywhere in this camp? I feel a shout coming on me right now. And the rest of the story, let me close out. The rest of the story says he went back, recovered all. And David recovered all. Y'all see that? It's in the text. Read the rest of the story. Verse 18. Can I read it real quick? I can't see it. Go ahead, read it for me. Read it for me.
So David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his wives.
Somebody high-five your neighbor, say something's about to be rescued. Somebody's about to be recovered. Something is about to come back. Somebody ought to go ahead and give God a shout. Say, I'm getting it back. I'm getting my stuff back. I'm getting my life back. I'm getting my marriage back. I'm getting it all back. I'm going to recover. Woo! I feel like shouting up in this camp today. You shall recover all. Some of y'all done lost your kids. You done lost your sanity. You done lost your mind. You're going to get it back. Whoever I'm preaching to today, I'm telling you right now, go ahead and give God a shout because he's about to give it back to you. You're going to get it back. It's coming back. It's coming back. It's coming back. You haven't lost it forever. It's coming back. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Bless his holy name. Glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's worthy to be praised, worthy to be honored. And you're getting it back by the power of a man named Jesus. Lily of the valley, bright and morning star. The devil thought he had defeated Jesus, but he got his life back. He got up out of the grave on Sunday morning with all power in his hands. And that same Jesus will give you life and give you joy and forgive you of your sins and wash your sins away. Now, I don't know who you are, but you're here today, but you're not right with God. You need to come on down here and get right with God. You're backslidden. You need to rededicate. Get on up and come on down here. God is calling you to get your life back. Get your sanity back. Come on, get up and make your way down here. You're unsaved. Come get saved. Backslidden. Come on and accept Jesus. He'll forgive you. It doesn't matter what you did, how often you did it, how frequently you did it. He'll forgive you of whatever has happened in your life. You need a church home? Come on right now. This is the appointed time while the blood is running warm in your veins. Just come on. This is not an accident that God brought you here. It is his providence that you're here.
Sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Yes.
Sometimes you have to speak victory during the test. And no matter how you feel, speak the word.
Yeah.